Thank you, sir. If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our place of study in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. It is a joy to be back here again. It's hard to believe a year has gone by so quick. But time stands still for no one. And one day our years will stop. And we'll be in that land where there is no tomorrows. It'll all be today. What a grand thought that will be. Well, it is in my heart in these days that we're together, these six services, to look at one word in the Bible. You say, surely, preacher, you think we can take more than one word, couldn't we? I don't know. I doubt I could. It's such a big word. And it is mentioned numerous times in the Bible, both in word and in principle. It is the word give, give. And it is mentioned numerous times in principle. Of course, any time a Baptist preacher mentions giving, everybody wants to reach for their wallet and hold on to it. I want at the outset of this series to mention to you, if all God wants is my money, it would be no problem this morning. I wish that's all God wanted was my money. But I am finding that's the least thing he wants from me, is my money. If that's all he wants is my money, let me give it all to him this morning, if that's all he wants. But I'm telling you, honey, I hope before Thursday night you'll realize that's the least thing he wants out of you. That's the least thing he wants out of you. There is a little principle that I want to emphasize in these days in this thought of giving. I want us to maybe have this little thought explode in our heart that we are the most like God when we are giving, when we are giving. Maybe some of you say this morning, say, boy, that's what I want. I want to be like God. Oh, you do now. God said, if you want to be like me, you'll have to give. It is totally contrary to the natural man to give. Give anything, let alone your money. And so with that thought in mind, I want to preach these days on this subject, living in the offering plate. Living in the offering plate. The fellas have just come by and took the offering. I'm not interested this morning in you and your money. God's interested in you getting in the offering plate. I'm wondering this morning, I'm not asking you if you're saved. I'm not asking if you've been down to Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I'm not asking if you've ever been baptized. I'm not asking if you're a member of a church. Hell will be full of people that did all that. I'm asking you this morning, has there ever been an occasion where you yourself got an offering plate? Didn't give God your money, your talent, your treasures, your time. You just gave God yourself. He's a-wanting you this morning. He's a-wanting you, living in the offering plate. This morning, as we start this study, I want to look this morning at the three widows in the Bible. The three widows in the Bible. There are three major mentions of widows in the Bible. And I want to look at their life. Of course, you think about widow this morning and giving. I don't know about you what you think about it, but you're going to be slack on what you're getting. But when we see these three widows and what they gave. Oh, gracious. Did they ever get all of heaven had to offer? And with these three widows in mind this morning, I want to preach on the gain of giving. The gain of giving. Some of us just give this morning in order to get. But even if that's not your motive, you just love to give. Let me remind you of this morning. You will never, ever be indebted to God. You will never, ever find Him to be behind in His giving back. You will never be able to stand and say, God, I have outgiven you. There will always be a gain to your giving this morning. With that thought in mind, let us begin in 1 Kings chapter number 17. And I want us to look first of all this morning at this widow. This is Elijah's widow. And I want us to see this morning that she gave the contents of her barrel. She gave the contents of her barrel. Notice if you have the text there, 1 Kings chapter number 17, and beginning to read in verse number 8, let's look at the consideration of her barrel this morning. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Notice the text this morning. He has told Elijah to go down to Zarephath, to Zidon. You remember the story now. Elijah has prayed and God has told him that it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Elijah's been down by the brook Cherith. God's been supplying his needs. He's been flying meat and bread in on a dirty bird, a family of a buzzard, every morning for his supplies. But that has dried up. He now tells him to go down to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. You say, what's the big deal about that? Oh, it's a big deal. Jezebel's hometown. He said, I'm going to put you right under Jezebel's nose, and I'm going to take care of you. And he says here in our text in verse number 9, he says, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Time out, hold on. Widow and sustain. That is oxymoron. The two don't go together. I don't know about you. Any of you here this morning, a widow, you want a fixed income. If God told me that you were going to take care of me, I'd say, no way, Jose, is that going to happen? I'm expensive. Just putting gas in a car is more than I can handle right now. You listening to me? The consideration of her barrel. I was wondering this morning, are you taking care of you or is God taking care of you? I tell you what this morning, if you're taking care of you, you, my friend, are in trouble. You're never going to have enough. You're always going to come up slack in taking care of you. But in this text, in the consideration of her barrel, I see this morning that God can take care of us in the worst of situations with the least of provisions. Even to the point of no provisions, God can still take care of us. The consideration of her barrel. But watch the text. Notice not only the consideration of her barrel, but notice the challenge for her barrel. the Bible says in verse number 11, and she was going to fetch it. What was she going to fetch? She was going to get a couple of sticks, the Bible says in verse 10. And she's going to make a fire. And Elijah asked her to bring him a little bit of water. And while on the way to get the water, and she was going to fetch it, he called her. He said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. He said, along with your water, he said, bring me a little bread. I love what we're talking about, the challenge of a barrel now. I love what she told him. She said, I have not a, I didn't know if you'd see that little letter or not, cake. She says, I do not have enough to make a whole cake. She said, all I've got enough to is to make a part of a cake. And she says, it is in a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son. We may eat it and die. She said, I don't have enough to make a whole cake. But I've got enough to make a part of a cake. We're going to eat it. That's it. We're going to die. Challenge for her barrel. Remember, who's taking care of you? You taking care of you? God taking care of you. If God is taking care of you, he can take care of you in the worst of situations with no provision or a little provision. God don't have to have your check take care of you. Oh, you don't have to have nothing to take care of you if he's wanting to take care of you. I'm talking about living in offering plate. Living in offering plate. Consideration of a barrel. Challenge of a barrel. Look at verse number 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first. Ruh-roh. He said, I want my cake first. He said, once you make my cake first, bring it unto me, and after, make for thee and for thy son. Now, she's only got enough now to make a part of a cake. He's talking about making three cakes. She's looking in that barrel. You know what she's saying after she's looking in that barrel? No way, Jose. Ain't going to work. Ain't got enough in there to make but a part. He won't make three. And he says, I want you to make mine first. Listen to me this morning. We cannot give this morning based on what we have.
I tell you, preacher, I wish I could give a little bit more than what I've got, but I tell you, I'm just on a fixed income. I just can't afford it.
You're a fool. You're a fool. You can't give based on what you got. Oh, no. If you do that, you won't ever give nothing. You won't ever give nothing. Oh, no. You can't give based on what you got. Our giving must never consider us first. It must consider obedience. Oh, hear the challenge of her barrel. He has told her, he says, make me a cake first. Oh, notice not only the contents of her barrel and the challenge of her barrel, but notice the continuance of her barrel. Oh, I love it. I hate to even show it to you. I know you're not going to believe it. Look at verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he in her house did eat many days. There is a promise of continuance. God said, if you'll obey me, he said, not only will I give you enough to make one cake, I give you enough to make three cakes. Promise from the barrel. Talking about the giving of her barrel this morning. The continuance of, but watch that verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. There must be obedience whether you understand it or not. There must be obedience whether you understand it or not. Do you realize that every morning when she went, scraped her hand into that barrel, there was never enough there to make but a part of a cake? But she took what she had and made three out of it. She stretched her every morning. Or could I say God stretched her every morning because of her obedience. It was nothing in the barrel. This was not a magic barrel. This was not some magic that had a voodoo hex on it. No! God had touched the barrel. How come? She gave the barrel to God. She gave the barrel to God. Hey, the crazy woman's living an offering plate. What did she give, preacher? She gave herself. She gave it all. What is to be gained this morning by giving it all? She gave a little and got much. She gave her all and got his all. Oh, this barrel. The Bible tells us in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Every morning she went to this barrel, there was enough to make three. Hey, wonder what it was like after Elijah moved out. They had an extra cake. Whoa. My. Man, preacher, I thought I was on a fixed income. Now I got extras. How come? When you give him y'all, you get all him. Oh, I'm talking about the contents of her barrel. You still with me? Ain't gone nowhere yet, have you? Watch the text if you've got it there. Look at another widow. 2 Kings chapter number 4. That first widow gave the contents of her barrel. She gave it all to him. Ah, what's to be gained by giving him all? Well, preacher, what in the world be gained by giving him myself? I tell you what to be gained by. You get him. Well, pray tell, what's he got? He's got it all, huh? Ain't nothing he ain't got. Is there anything you need this morning? He said he got it. Wonder how I could get it. You're going to have to give him all of you. Well, preacher, what does he want, my money? Oh, he don't want your money. Oh, no, he ain't never wanted your money. He don't want your talents. I know some of you talent, but he can't use them. He'd have to shrink your head in order to use them. I know some of you are gifted. I know you got time. Oh, he don't want your time. He never wanted your time. He don't want you coming over here three times a week. He don't want you coming all week this week. He don't want you coming every night reading your Bible, all that stuff. He ain't no interested in that. He wants you in his offering plate. Yeah. Hon, when he's got you, he got everything. Right. Hey, ain't none of you put anything in the offering plate this morning. You got the guts to go back in over here on this side room and tell anybody you want it back, do you? Huh? I ain't got the guts to do it. I made a mistake. Can I get that back? No. If I'd have put my life savings in there, I wouldn't go back over there and ask them for it back. Huh? See, once you get in this plate, give God everything. No taking it back. Don't take it back. It's gone. It's gone. He'll take it, but he wants it all. I'm firmly convinced. You don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong if you want to. But I believe with all my heart's biblical salvation. I believe if he don't have all of you, he don't want none of you. And I believe there's a number of you here in this building that he does not have all of you this morning. And if you die this morning, you're going maybe to hell. Because if he can't have all of you, he don't want none of you. He don't want pieces of you. He don't want your money, your time, your treasure. You just decide what little parts you're going to give him. Oh, no. He wants it all. He wants it all. He's greedy. He'll not settle for nothing but it all. It all. Watch this now. 2 Kings chapter number 4. This first girl gave him the contents of her barrel. I want you to see that this widow gives him the cruse of her barrenness. gives him the cruise of her barrier. Hey, now watch that little word, cruise. Hey, this is not a cruise like on a ship. Not that kind of cruise. No. Not that kind of cruise. This is a vessel. They called it a cruise. It's sort of like our word for vase. You know, that's a vase. High class. Vase. Cruise. She gives him her cruise of barrenness. Watch the text if you have it there. Chapter number 4 and verse number 1. I want you to see this little thought. She sees nothing but her own problems. Many of us today, we're having problems with giving God ourselves because all we see is our little problems. Look at verse number 1. Now they're cried. That's an interesting little word there. It means to shriek in desperation. It is akin to our little word, whine. Baptists are good for whine. I tell you, y'all pray for me. I tell you, I'm really going through a dark time. I tell you, I really need some help. I tell you, we're having whining. Hey, if you could bottle up the wine at the Baptist church, we could all get drunk. Huh? Oh, yeah. Whining. Especially on Wednesday night. That's when we whine the most. Whine, whine, whine. She's whining. What's she whining about? She says, there's a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Remember now, she sees nothing but her own problem. The little word servant there is the little word for bond slave. A willing servant. One who has had the awl drove through his ear. He was a slave, but at Jubilee, he was set free. Then he returned and became a willing slave. That's the word she uses here. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord. He had a reverential awe for God. But watch what she says. And the creditors come to take him unto him my two sons to be bondmen. All she sees this morning is that she's fixing to lose all that she has of this earth's goods. I was wondering this morning, I wonder if this old girl ever bought into her husband's beliefs. You know, there's a lot of you here this morning, you've never bought into your mate's beliefs. Some of you have a mate that's sold out, but you ain't. Oh no. Some of you have mates that have gotten in the offering plate, but you ain't gotten in there. And it's like hell on earth for them. You listening to me? Because see, if this old gal was a bond slave and she had a reverential awe for God, she'd have never brought up this thing about the creditors coming to take her two sons. Because, see, slaves didn't have no rights. Slaves didn't own anything. Slaves had no right. A slave would never open their mouth, go to whining about what they had and what they didn't have. I guess they'd lose their neck. Oh, no, she never bought into her husband's reverential awe for the Lord. See, a husband, he one of them crazy offering plate people. You know, crazy like, I mean, not giving God the money and his time and treasure, you know, all that stuff. I mean, just give God himself. Give it all whole hog to him, you know. Watch the text. Notice not only she sees nothing but her own problems, but I notice in verse number 2, she sees not her own potential. She sees not her own potential. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Notice Elijah does not come in and say, what can God do? Oh, no. I believe with all my heart, God has come in here this morning, and he's not asking us, what can God do for us? Oh, no. No. Oh, no. God don't operate like that. God's come through here this morning and said, what can I do for you? What you need? What you need? You need anything? And I know some of you sitting there this morning, you all spirits, you know you got that halo on. I mean, you know, after a while we cut the lights out and watch them glow and all that stuff. And you go, oh, I tell you, preacher, I really don't need anything. I got all I need. Well, you're the one I'm aiming at this morning. I guarantee you got more needs than you can shake a stick at spiritually. Huh? I noticed some of you here sitting here this morning that you've slept about through the whole sermon already. I know one thing you need to wake up. You listening to me? I tell you, you need a jolt of the Holy Ghost this morning. Oh, Lord God, yes. You ever get an offering plate, you couldn't sleep in a Baptist church, that's for sure. Right. You listening to me? Yes. You say, I have a hard time staying awake. Shoot, I'd go stand in the back so I could hear. Right. You listening to me? Amen. I'm telling us this morning, she sees not her own potential. He comes and asks her, what can I do for you? Just you. Let's take the whole crowd out of the building this morning. Ain't nobody here but you. God's come by this morning. He said, what would you like for me to do for you? He's already told you what he wants. Well, what in the world does he want? To get an offering plate. He said, if you'll get an offering plate, he said, ask me what you want. I'll do it. I'll do it. Watch the text now. She sees not her own potential. I was thinking this morning, the fundamentalist of our day, that's the Bible believers, the one that's got their T's crossed and their I's dotted. They believe God can do anything he wants to. I don't believe it. Never will believe it. You're listening to me? I do not believe that God can do anything he wants to. What? Brother Scott, what kind of preacher have you brought in here this morning? He doesn't believe that God can do anything he wants to? No, I do not. That's what the fundamentalists believe. But biblicalists believe this morning that God will do anything he wants to. Matter of fact, God does not wish to do anything, but he accomplishes what he wills this morning. God is not sitting up there this morning with a desire to do something and his hands are tied. There's no man ever tied his hand. If you think you got your hands got God's hands tied, you ought to call the undertaker this afternoon. You will need him forthcoming. He says, what do you need? He's trying to get her to see her potential. Look what she says in verse number 2. He asked her, what have you got in the house? She said, thy hand hath made hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. A cruse of oil. You remember in the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. She said, all I've got is, she said, I got this little vase here. I got this little cruse here, and it's got oil in it. Isn't that what the Baptist church is saying today?
I tell you. That's all we got is all we got is the Holy Ghost. I wish we could have some kind of effect upon the world. I don't know what in the world we're going to do. Boy, I tell you, this thing's looking bad. It looks like old Hillary's going to get in. And gracious Bush, it's done messed up. I don't know what we're going to do. About all we've got is just this little cruise all. I said, we've got a little bit of Holy Ghost, about all.
Oh, you just got a little bit of him? Oh, a little bit will be enough. I hear he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He never changes. Huh? I hear he can do anything and will do anything he wants to do. She asked him. She said, all I got's this little cruise of oil. He's trying to get her to see her potential. Oh, I wish this morning we could see our potential if we would only get in the offering plate. if we would only get in the offering plate. She sees not her own potential. She sees just her own problems. But watch this. I hate to even show this to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. She sees numbered, overwhelming provisions. The Bible says in verse number 3, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So the boys went all through the neighborhood, knocking on doors. Hey, y'all got any empty vessels? Oh, yeah, y'all want empty vessels? Yeah. Man, they bring it up to the house. Man, knocking on doors. Hey, you got any empty vessels? Yeah, we got a bunch of them right here. Yeah. After a while, they said, oh, Mama, I just wore out. I just can't carry no more vessels. I don't carry that all the vessels I could carry. She said, the man of God said that this little bit of oil would take care of us. Line up all these vessels. And she goes through them, and she starts pouring. She gets this, man, it overflows. It's all over the ground. That's in the saucer and everything. Pour the next one. Pour the next one. All of them are filling up. Everyone, just all she had was a little bit. You remember that? She didn't have much. Just kept pouring, kept pouring, kept pouring, kept pouring, kept pouring. Until she run out of vessels. Oh, she's the one that limited it to work. You listen? She really wasn't no offering plate, people. Oh, yeah. Probably every now and then she got up on the edge of one. You know, walk around on the edge, look in and all, like, ooh, that's too deep for me. I better get out of there. Huh? She's got a few vessels. We filled them all up. I'm talking about, watch it now. We're looking at this little thought now. She sees numbered, overwhelming provisions. Here, her short-sightedness, the boys' doubts, lack of faith, they got a number of vessels, probably just a few. But oh, I love this. God can take our limited thoughts, our little doubts, and he can magnify them if we'll get in the offering plate. What did he do for this old gal? Oh, gracious, it's so big, I hate to even show it to you. Look at verse number 6. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there's not a vessel more. The oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Time out! Hold on! All she wanted was the debt paid. Oh, she got the debt paid. You better rest assured she got the debt paid. What else did she get? He said, I want you and the boys to take what's left and live the rest of your life on it. Oh, yeah. Whoa, gracious. I guarantee she dove in that offering plate then. Huh? God can take our little limited thoughts, our little old doubts, and even take them and expand them and take care of them when we give it all to him. Oh, what was to be gained from her? She gave God just a little bit. What did she get in return? She got it all. She got it all. Oh, what a trade this morning. Our all for his all. You say, preacher, I've not given God everything. I still got some little places I've not given him. What am I going to get? This is awful deep. I hate to even start a message out deep because I'm afraid it'll go over your head. Here's what you're going to get. Nothing! You ain't getting zippo. Because if he doesn't have all of you, you're not going to get all of him. I'm talking about the cruise of her barrenness. Can I mention one last widow, and I'll be done. You say, I've heard enough myself. Well, just one last one, that won't hurt you, just one more. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12. Mark's Gospel, and I must hurry, because it's 12 o'clock, and I know y'all always get out at 12. There was some laughter from the back. Mark chapter number 12. Not only did this one widow give him the contents of her barrel, another one gave him the cruse of her barrenness. But I want you to see that this old gal, she gave him the coins of her bankruptcy. She gave him the coins of her bankruptcy. I notice in chapter number 12, verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasure and beheld how the people cast money into the treasure. Preacher, what's Jesus doing? He says that he's just standing by and watching the offering plate. He's watching how people give. Now, I don't know about you, it scared me to death. The little phrase here is similar to a little Latin phrase. It's coram Deo, before the face of. I was wondering this morning, God was watching as you gave this morning. He was observing. I wonder what he saw. Did he see your stinginess? Or did he see your liberality? Did he see you giving yourself? Because I'm extremely interested in what he was looking for. That's what scares me. He was not looking to see what they gave. Oh, Grace, I wish that's all he was looking for. Grace, I'd be in good shape. But you know what he was looking for? He's looking to see how much they kept. Whoa. You know, sometimes we get excited. I think we get excited because we think God's thrilled that we give him 10% and we keep 90. I don't know about you. If I was in a business deal with anybody and they were giving me 10, keeping 90, I wouldn't get excited about it. Woo, glory to God, man. They give me 10 and they keep 90. You know what? We got a real proposition going here. You listening to me this morning? He's looking to see what had left. Watch the text. Notice in this text, he sees the state of her giving. The state of her giving. Verse number 41. He says, and many that were rich cast in much. Verse number 42. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. The little word farthing there is our little word for a half a penny. She comes by, a little treasure there. Man, these guys, they've been coming by, they've been throwing in big chunks. Man, every now and then, they got to take the box away. Man, box getting full, man. We got to go empty it. Man, hey, bring it back. Man, they've been putting big old chunks in it, putting much in it. And she comes by, she drops in a half penny. State of forgetting. Man, they put in a bunch. Woo, gracious, they're putting big chunks in there. She put in a half a penny. He is looking now at the state of her giving. But watch the text. He sees not only the state of her giving, but he sees the statement of her giving. Watch it. The Bible says in verse 41 that they cast in much. But look at verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in what? Somebody tell me, it's a big word. I can't read it. Somebody tell me what it is. Oh! Did you know what he said? He said that her offering exceeded their offering. Time out. Hey, Jesus. Hey, you better go back in that room and count the offering again. If you think her half penny exceeded all their chunks, he said, she put in more than them all. He said her offering exceeded all of their offering. How come? Because she give it all. She give it all. She is now bankrupt. She has nothing. She has given him everything. I see from this text now, not only do I see the state of her giving, I see the statement of her giving. Could I mention this in closing? He sees too the secrecy of her giving. Watch this little text. It's out of Matthew. He says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. She has secretly come and given all that she had. She has given. You know what this woman is? She's one of them crazy offering plate people. And giving God herself. He said, in secret, I'll give it all back to her. I'll give her myself. Oh, Paul, in his little epistle to the Philippians, he said those things that he counted as gain, he counted as lost, that he might know Christ. What we have freely given in this life, the life to come will have it. Those things that you have held on to in this life, in the life to come, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. In closing this morning, I tell us a little story. Dear, dear preacher friend of mine, I heard him tell this story. Been almost 15 years ago. I was with him a few weeks ago, and I asked him if he'd tell it to me again. The story is almost 35 years old. And I noticed as he told it to me, he began to weep like a baby, just like it was a yesterday story. He told me, he said, Tom, in the late 1960s, he said, I returned from Vietnam. He said, I was addicted to alcohol. He said, my life was a wreck. His grandma that had raised him, Kingsport, Tennessee, he returned from Vietnam. She was dying in the hospital. He said his grandma was a godly lady. He said he went to see his grandma in the hospital. And he said one of the last words she told him before he died, she said, Sonny, she said, you need Jesus. Sonny, you need Jesus. He said, Tom, he said, 2 weeks later, he said, I was laying in my bed asleep. He said, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, God awoke me with the awfulest lostness of my soul. He said, I felt like I was going to hell right then. He said, I got down beside the bed, and I begged God to save my soul. He said, he gloriously saved me there by the bed. He said, there was a little church in our community. He said, I began to attend there. He said, I was just overwhelmed with God. He said, I just couldn't pray enough, couldn't read enough. He said, I asked the preacher if he'd give me the keys to the church, so I could go over there and pray anytime I wanted to. He said, Tom, he said, I went over there late one night. He said, I didn't have but $3 to my name. He said, my life was a wreck. He said, I had shambled it so bad in Vietnam. He said, I didn't have nothing to give God. He said, what in the world would God want with $3? He said, Tom, he said, I went down there to that altar at the church. He said, I noticed up on the communion table was an offering plate. He said, I put it down in the floor. And he said, the best I knew how, I stood in that offering plate. And I said, Lord, I haven't got anything to give you but myself. And I'd like to give God myself. I wonder this morning, has there ever been an occasion? People talk about giving God your heart. What in the world God wants your heart? Most of you need open heart surgery now. You done messed it up so bad. God don't want your heart. I'll give you my soul. God don't want your soul. God wants you. If he can't have all of you, he'd just soon have none of you. I wonder, has there ever been an occasion when you've just given it all to him? Lock, stock, and barrel, everything. Give him the keys to it all. If he wants it, he can come get it. these three widow ladies, they gave him all. What'd they get? They got it all. You know how come we don't have so, we're all the time whining about what we don't have. Never gotten an offering plate. Get an offering plate. You get it all. You get it all. It'd take a whine out. You quit sucking your thumb. I'm telling you this morning, living offering plate. Would you stand with us this morning? Father, I don't know what you want to do here this morning. Maybe you don't want to do nothing. You just might want us to soak for a night or two. Lord, I know I've really had to go in and examine my own heart and see if I've gotten in and out of this offering plate on occasions. Get a little hot in there, I want to get out. Lord, I realize in this offering plate there's not any room for anything but me. I can't take my little tidbits, all my little fun things and my habits and all my little weird ways. Ain't no room for none of that. All my little treasures, all things I hold dear to me. Just no room for them in the offering plate. Just room for me. Lord, I've been examining myself. See if I'm a living in the offering plate. Oh, I don't want to get in and out. I want to live there. Because, Lord, I know when I give you my all, I get your all in return. Oh, what a gain. Lord, speak to us this morning. Make it very clear to us. We'll thank you for it. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Without any music, without any singing, without any twisting of your arms this morning. I wonder if there's been an occasion you've gotten an offering plate, given God yourself, everything, lock, stock, barrel. You say, preacher, no, but God has certainly aroused my attention this morning. I wonder why we wait in the quietness of His presence without any provocation from music or trying to make you feel fuzzy-wuzzy. I wonder this morning if you need to slip and come. Root you out a place in this altar. The best you know how. Stand in that offering plate. Say, Lord, I don't have much to give you. My life's a wreck. My life's a mess. I got all kind of weird ways, freckles and moles. But Lord, I'd like to give you myself this morning. Maybe some of you young people this morning, have you ever considered giving God your life? Oh, not what you've got planned, how you're going to make money and how you're going to get cars and jobs and all that. No, Lord, I won't take my hand off all of that stuff. I want to get an offering plate, Lord. Let you just do with me what you want to do. While we wait a few moments, quietness of this hour, this altar's open. Would you come this morning? Seek Him while He can be found. Call on Him while He's near. I wonder if there's areas of your life this morning that God does not have. You say, preacher, I realize this morning there is areas in my life. Preacher, I've tried to give it to Him and it's just impossible. I just cannot give it to Him. I wonder this morning if you would be willing to be made willing. I wonder this morning if you would be willing to come with that situation. Say, preacher, it's got such a hold on me. I just can't let it go. I wonder if you'd come this morning and tell Him, I'm willing to be made willing to give every area of my life to you. While we wait, God's speaking. God's knifing us, would you come this morning? Would you come? We're the most like God when we're giving, living in the offering plate. Have you given Him your all? If it's in the offering plate, you won't whine when He takes it back. You won't whine when He touches it. You won't whine when He breaks it. You won't whine when He tears it up. You won't whine when it comes all apart, because it ain't yours no more. Waiting in God's presence. Would you come? Would you come? Preacher, you come.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, folks are doing business with God around this altar. I shared a quote Wednesday evening with you of Adrian Rogers. Said it in Penn years ago when he said, "I don't know how much of God you have, but you have all you want. I don't know how much of God you have this morning, but it's true. You have all that you want." But in light of the challenge from the Word of God this morning, could I tweak it? Could I tweak the statement and say this morning, I don't know how much you have given God, but you've given Him all you want. I don't know how much you've given God this morning, but you have given Him all that you want. I tell you this morning, everything you hold on to, you stay responsible for. But everything you give unto Him, He becomes responsible for. My, what a challenge this morning from the Word of God. Some of you here this morning, you're struggling. Oh, you may be here this morning, you may be struggling financially because you're not giving like you ought to give. But some here this morning, you're struggling with life. Something far more important than dollars and cents. You're struggling in life because of a giving problem. Oh my, may you and I give fully. May you and I give completely unto Him. Father, I thank You this morning for the challenge of the Word of God. I thank You for the truth of Your Word. Oh Lord God, would You ever search us? Oh God, would You ever try us? Oh Lord God, then we'll see where we are with You. God, I pray we'd be open and we'd be honest. Lord, again, I thank You for the good Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray, oh God, that for this week is over and for this meeting comes to an end, that God, You'd have more than checkbooks and bank accounts. God, You'd have all of us and all that we are. Lord, I pray in these moments again, Lord, Your Word would take root, it would sprout and grow. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for the water of life that has been made available this morning. Lord, thank You for the preaching of the Word of God and the holding forth of the Word of God this morning. But Lord, it will do us no good to stand around the well and talk about how good the sermon was and how good the truth was. Lord, if we don't apply it, if we don't get into the offering plate and live. Lord, if we don't get to that place, this will just be another meeting. There'll just be another six services that'll come and go. I pray, oh God, we might give fully, fully, fully unto Thee. Seal your truth in our hearts. In your good name, we ask it and pray. Amen and amen. Don't forget the service tonight. Our adult choir will open up.